Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And another week of the Announcer Schedule Podcast is back. Episode 24. What's going on, everybody? I'm your host, Mike Gill. Phil DeMont Mollen. He is the voice and the face behind the Twitter handle at Announcer Skeds. Although, who knows what's going on with Twitter? What's going on with you, Phil?
Well, we're keeping the Twitter feed going, so.
For now, 20,000 plus strong, right? Right? 20,000 plus strong. Announcer Schedules Podcast, week episode 24, 22,000 followers, by the way. Rate, review, subscribe if you like what we're doing. That helps us out. Leave us a note on Apple Podcasts. Follow the feed on the Sports Media Watch podcast feed. That's TJ and John on the Sports Media Watch on Wednesdays. That's George on Tell Me a Story I Don't Know on Tuesdays, and you get us on Thursdays. And we're rocking and rolling. Episode 24. We are 10 weeks into the NFL season. Week 11 starts now as the announcer pairings have been announced in some interesting games out there. So let's get over the NFL. Week 10 was in Germany. We take a look back there, and then we look ahead to week 11.
Yeah, we spoke to TJ Reeves last week, our partner on the Sports Media Watch podcast feed, and he made the trip out to Munich, Germany. I was able to touch base with him. He made it back successfully. He had a pregame interview with NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell while he was out there. And looks like everything went well for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers radio crew. Westwood One was also there with Spiro Ditas on the play-by-play with Mike Mayock. And then the NFL Network crew was there as well. I was able to catch a little bit of the NFL Network's broadcast. I did get some feedback from one of our loyal listeners that they thought the audio mix was maybe a little off, and that it was kind of tough to hear Rich Eisen and some of the others from the booth. Too much crowd noise, in other words, and wasn't mixed quite right. I'm not sure if they adjusted that throughout the show or not. I only caught a little bit of the first quarter. Successful trip to Germany. It certainly looked like the fans were enjoying it and that stadium was packed.
I agree as well. I thought the crowd noise was a little bit too drowning out of the four-man booth you had there. You don't see a four-man booth too often there, but they had four, Warner, Michael Irvin, and Steve Mariucci. Of course, Rich Eisen was the play-by-player for the game. I thought the same thing. In fact, I have that in my notes here, that the NFL Network, I thought, had a bad audio mix. It was too loud. You could not hear the analysts well. You could not hear the play-by-play well. It definitely, and I don't know, I mean, they're not used to the constant crowd noise. I mean, that's a big thing, was the constant. It was like a soccer game where you just hear that almost the whole game, and maybe they just couldn't get the right mix for that.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. Later in the show, we're going to talk a little World Cup, and Fox has taken on the World Cup, which has just unbelievable viewership, and it'll be interesting to hear maybe how they approach that challenge as far as the soccer fan crowd noise. My question for you, Mike, if you were able to watch quite a bit of that game, four-person booth, as you mentioned, Eisen, Irvin, Mariucci, and Kurt Warner. Also two sideline reporters, Sarah Walsh and Jamie Erdahl. That's a lot of different voices for Rich Eisen to play traffic cop with and make sure they all get into the show and are able to contribute, not to mention to make sure that people aren't talking on top of each other. How do you think that went? A grand total of six on-air folks during the game itself.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot going on there for sure. And, I feel like for them to not do a lot of games, I don't know, NFL Network, I think that's really the only game that there's a four-person booth plus two sideliners. Getting them all some time is definitely a challenge. I thought they did a decent enough job not stepping on each other's toes, kind of taking turns there. But overall, it just seems that some of the guys got lost in the sauce. I saw a lot more of Sarah Walsh than I did Jamie Erdahl from the time I was watching. I didn't watch from start to finish, but I definitely saw Sarah was on the Tampa side. She had the Brady interview after the game. There was a lot of conversation from people like in our realm, I think, more than fans. You know, you have Rich Eisen, who's more of a studio host, doing the play-by-play there, and he's kind of setting these guys up a little bit more than straight calling play-by-play in the game. And yeah, like, you know, Mariucci, who doesn't do a lot of games, Michael Irvin, who doesn't do games generally, Kurt Warner does games. So you could hear how their input was a little different. Warner was a little bit more breaking down of plays and that kind of stuff. Decent dynamic if you can get rhythm. They don't have the rhythm. They don't do it all the times. But not going to sit here and say it was the worst broadcast. Not going to say, man, that team needs to get more reps. They only do it once in a while. I think for what it was, they did a good job.
Yeah, and you're right. It is a one-off, so maybe you do something a little novel like this. But, you know, I just kind of wonder, is it over-engineering, and would it be easier if it was just Eisen and Warner, for instance?
Probably. Like, I think if you said, hey, and by the way, nothing against Rich Eisen, but I would like to have seen a play-by-player get that. You know, he's a studio guy. Not that he couldn't do the job, but we have, you know, we talk about all these guys who do all these different things every week, traveling all over the place. There's a lot of guys who don't get the opportunity. I think somebody would love to get the opportunity to do play-by-play in a setting like that. It was a great atmosphere. Everybody was talking about how great of a, you know, a moment it was. Some of the players said, this is the best atmosphere I ever played in. So it would have been neat to see maybe a play-by-player who does a lot of play-by-play capture that moment a little bit more maybe. Not that Eisen, I'm not saying he did a bad job, but to really encapsulate that whole atmosphere and moment, maybe a more seasoned play-by-player could have done that. Who knows? I don't know. But like you said, probably a little too much with the sixth person, but they were trying to make it big, I think.
Yeah, makes sense, and we'll see what they end up doing moving forward, you know, assuming there's another opportunity like this.
I always wonder, like, you know, everybody goes for the big name and generally a quarterback to do stuff. You know, when you're going to do a three-person or multiple-person booth, why not have somebody who is an offensive player, somebody who is a defensive player, and have it, you know, balanced to both sides, give both perspectives? If you're going to go with a three-person booth, give the two different perspectives. Like, I like Mariucci being the coach there, but you had a wide receiver and a quarterback. How about a quarterback and maybe a defensive back or a defensive lineman, or, you know, to kind of balance it out and tell the story from both perspectives? I don't think we see enough of that.
Yeah, that's an interesting perspective, certainly from more of the X's and O's standpoint. And, you know, it might help organize the broadcast that much more in terms of, you know, who speaks when type of thing when it comes to those analysts.
Yeah, and I think one of the guys who, you know, did a lot of, not a lot, but got some time that I really enjoyed his perspective was Aqib Talib, because you didn't hear a defensive back a lot. There's not a lot of defensive backs who do this. And in a game that is filled with passing, I thought he did a really good job of breaking down coverage. He did it in an unconventional way, which I don't have a problem with. I think a lot of people were kind of just caught off guard by the way he presented it. But I thought he gave great information. I thought he would have been a good guy to have in a three-person booth where he could have been balanced out a little bit more, got an offensive perspective. And then when there's a play in the secondary, you know, he could really kind of – he did a really good job of breaking down coverage, I thought. You don't hear that a lot because you're not getting defensive perspectives a lot. And how many guys who are doing – color at the top levels were defensive backs? Not many.
Yeah, I'm trying to just rack my brain for other defensive backs. John Lynch comes to mind, you know, who did some work for a little while there. I'm sure there's others, you know, but no one else immediately comes to mind in terms of defensive backs. And you're right, I mean, they're such a big part of, you know, the scheme of any give game, especially with the way passing offenses work these days.
Well, when we go through our list today on the NFL and even the college game, let's try to pick out how many guys were defensive backs that are doing color commentary. Most of these guys are former quarterbacks or some sort of a offensive player. Generally, I mean, some guys may have played defense, but a lot of these guys that, you know, I'm just kind of overviewing, and we'll let you go through the list here Thursday night down through the 1 o'clock games on Sunday. I don't know how many of these guys were defensive backs.
Yeah, so of course, Thursday night, we've got the Amazon crew once again, Al Michaels, Kirk Herbstreit, and Kaylee Hartung, two-person booth with the sideline reporter, Herbstreit, former quarterback. So there we go there, you know, to get things started.
The only guy I can think of, and I think he's calling the Eagles game this week, is Charles Davis played safety. That's the one guy. And I like Charles Davis's breakdowns. I think he is a really good guy in terms of the breakdown, but he does it from a safety position perspective.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Charles Davis as well. I mean, I tell you what, like over time, I think as these players become more of a broadcaster than they are a player or a former player, you know, I think their perspective becomes more and more well-rounded over time too. So even though Kirk Herbstreit was a quarterback once upon a time, I mean, he's been broadcasting for so long that he's probably picked up so many perspectives and so forth.
Yeah.
It goes beyond just ex-quarterback giving, you know, from the quarterback's perspective.
No question, but he is also, I think, more of a broadcaster maybe so than a former player. I think people think of him almost as a former player second and a broadcaster first, because he was not a high-profile player, you know, quite frankly, in the NFL. So when he's doing – but you're right. But I still think these guys see it from the perspective of how they played or the position that they played first and foremost.
Well, this is a great exercise, Mike. Let's keep going. Lions and Giants on Sunday. That's 1 p.m. Fox game. Kevin Burkhardt, Greg Olsen,
tight end.
Bears, Falcons. That's also at 1 o'clock on Fox. That's the Joe Davis game. He's with Daryl Johnston, a running back,
fullback.
Yeah.
Yep. Which is a position that is now obsolete, essentially.
Yeah, true. 1 p.m., Rams and Saints, Kenny Albert and Jonathan Vilma, linebacker, you know, from the U, and then, you know, New Orleans Saints. He's going, you know, back to the Superdome to broadcast that Saints game. Shannon Spake on the sideline.
Linebacker, too, an interesting position, which was kind of like, you know, is redeveloping now in the NFL. You don't see Mike Singletary. You don't see that level of linebacker now. You see more of these converted safeties that now play the linebacker position.
More 1 o'clock games on Fox this Sunday. Panthers and Ravens. Kevin Kugler, Mark Sanchez, quarterback. Commanders and Texans. That's a Fox game as well with Chris Myers on the play-by-play. Robert Smith, a former running back, as the analyst.
Yep.
Eagles and Colts. You mentioned Charles Davis, you know, and I'm a big fan of his analysis as well, Mike. He's with Ian Eagle. Evan Washburn on the sidelines for Eagles Colts. Charles Davis, defensive back. Jets and Patriots over on CBS as well. Kevin Harlan and Trent Green, quarterback.
Quarterback, yep.
Browns and Bills. Andrew Catalan, former guest of the podcast, along with James Lofton. Very prolific wide receiver. I don't know how many of our listeners are old enough to see Lofton perform, but he was something else as a wide receiver for the Packers all those years.
Yes, he was. Green Bay, Buffalo as well for James Lofton. Although, by the way, that game was supposed to be on the radio, and they moved it because they're anticipating 2 to 3 feet of snow in Buffalo. So that was originally, just a little behind the curtains for you there, the radio game, and that game has now been switched out.
Wow, interesting. And, you know, snow is, you know, people talk about snow in television, that it, like, gets people's attention when you're flipping through the dials. If you see a football game where it's snowing, you actually stop more often than actually end up watching it. So for the show perspective itself, it might be tougher to get there and to do all the logistics and so forth. But from the show perspective, it can pay dividends as far as, you know, just having that novelty of snow.
Yeah, that was the Compass Media game. Carolina Ravens is the new game, and that will be Chris Carino, Brian Baldinger, who was an offensive lineman, Baldy.
Interesting stuff. So we mentioned Browns and Bills, Catalan and Lofton. Then what gets to the 4 o'clock games, Raiders and Broncos on Fox, Adam Amin and Mark Schlereth, a former offensive lineman. By the way, I enjoy offensive linemen's perspectives for the most part, too, which is, you know, kind of like, you know, a different way to look at things. And certainly, you know, they are just, you know, in the middle of things so much, it might not get the attention. But a lot of print journalists who I've talked to over the years, those are their go-to guys in a locker room often, because they can really get some deeper perspective from a lot of these offensive linemen. So, you know, Schlereth with Amin for Raiders and Broncos. Cowboys, Vikings, Nance and Tony Romo. Romo, of course, former quarterback as well. Tracy Wolfson on the sidelines for that one. CBS in the 4 o'clock window, one game, Bengals and Steelers. Greg Gumbel and Adam Archuleta.
Archuleta's a safety.
There's one. That's cool to see. And then the Sunday night game, of course, Chiefs and Chargers, Mike Tirico and Chris Collinsworth. Another guy. I mean, he played a long time ago as far as the wide receiver position. He's probably evolved like Curb Street into much more of just a TV personality than anything. But, wide receiver in the case of Collinsworth.
Yep. And then on the radio side, Kugler and Ben Lieber, who I believe was a linebacker, is the Westwood One Thursday night. It's the first time I think we've seen Ben Lieber do a game this year. You said you've worked with him before, I think.
Yeah, so I got the chance to work with Ben Lieber during the pandemic. We were doing games out of the Charlotte, North Carolina studio for Fox Sports One, and Lieber was on a package with Eric Collins on play-by-play, and I did the whole season with him. When the pandemic was at sort of its peak there, that fall of 2020, and it was really like a week to week thing whether we'd even get these games in. But Ben was really interesting. He goes by Nacho from as far as his nickname goes. A lot of people call him that. And yeah, he brought that different perspective that you're talking about as far as from that defensive side of the ball. We had a bunch of Big 12 games in that package, and he's a former Big 12 linebacker, big time player in college, had a good pro career as well, does work with the Vikings radio crew. And he did some work, I believe, last year with Westwood One as well. And he's back on the call this Thursday with Kevin Kugler.
All right. So that's the Westwood One Thursday night football. ESPN Radio's got the Eagles and Colts. That's going to be Steve Levy and Harry Douglas, along with Dan Graziano. So Harry Douglas, you hear him. He's a wide receiver, by the way, former Falcon. You hear him on the shows as a fill-in a lot on ESPN Radio. If you're an ESPN Radio listener, you'll hear Harry Douglas from time to time filling in for maybe Keyshawn Johnson or Chris Canty, or sometimes when Greeny's off for 6 weeks in a row, you'll hear Harry Douglas in there with Chris Garland a bunch. Sports USA, Larry Kahn, Dave McGinnis, who, by the way, Dave McGinnis was a former coach. And they always give interesting perspective. I don't know why more coaches, I guess they're a little dry maybe sometimes to do the color, but they usually give some pretty good perspective if you get a good one who has got some personality. Mike Cousins, who's been a guest of the podcast, you can go back to the archives. He's doing the ESPN Radio Raiders Broncos game with Kelly Stauffer, a former quarterback with the Seahawks. Dallas, Minnesota, that's that weekly Compass Media national game. Danny White is the analyst quarterback. Kevin Ray is their play-by-player. Josh Appel and Brandon Noble are doing the Sports USA Bengals Steelers. Brandon Noble played defensive tackle. He kind of made it his rounds through the NFC East, was a Washington franchise, whatever team name you want to insert for them, played for Dallas as well. And then Tom McCarthy, who's been on the podcast, go back to the archives, you can listen to T-Mac. He's doing the game with Ross Tucker, who's a guy who's getting a lot of work now. Ross Tucker's all over the place. He's a Philly guy. He does a lot of radio in the marketplace as well. And then another Philly guy, Mike Golick, is going to do the Monday night. He had been doing a bunch. They're in Mexico City, by the way, for Monday Night Football. That's Ryan Radke and Mike Golick. So Radke and Golick, no Kevin Harlan this week for Westwood One.
Yeah, and Tucker, former offensive lineman. Golick, former defensive lineman. Back to the trenches with those two.
By the way, Kevin Harlan is in the 1 o'clock game with the Patriots in New England. I'm guessing that they couldn't maybe get him to Mexico City, or maybe he just didn't want to travel or what, but he generally does that Monday night game, correct?
Yeah, and maybe a NBA game on the backside of all that. I'm not sure, in terms of, and it's also Thanksgiving week, so I haven't looked that far ahead as far as, what the Westwood One plans are for Thanksgiving. So maybe all that combined, with the international travel as well, just didn't make sense for Harlan.
All right. Then we got college, big slate in college. We're winding down the college season. So let's take a look at some of the highlights for this weekend in the college football world.
Yeah, I do want to mention that, this past Tuesday night, there were some really good action on. This is fun to watch always, these Tuesday, Wednesday night shows, ESPN networks, as well as CBS Sports Network. And, you know, good opportunity for some of these guys to maybe get some reps and some different roles and so forth. And, you know, a lot of attention for Connor Onion, you know, a play-by-player who, honestly, I didn't know that much about. And, you know, one of his clips has gone a little viral as this Bowling Green Toledo game came down to the wire. So that was cool to see. Rocky Boyman was along with him. But yeah, those Maction games, there was snow going, you know, up there in Toledo, Ohio as well, which added to some of that excitement. Yeah, and this weekend, you know, another full slate, you know, kicks off tonight if you're listening to the podcast on Thursday night. Another Thursday night game on ESPN, SMU and Tulane. That's the Matt Barry, Lewis Riddick, Harry Lyles Jr. team. And then Saturday we'll kick off, and this is interesting. College game day, we've been kind of following where they've been going each week. And another debut, you know, first time to the state of Montana for the 121st Brawl of the Wild, Montana and Montana State. And it was kind of interesting how this one went down. You know, typically they announce the college game day location on Saturday night in like the fourth quarter of whatever that primetime Fowler Herb Street show is. And because I think things were pending in terms of a decision on this one, they waited until Sunday morning. You know, the conventional wisdom said USC UCLA would be the location, but UCLA loses late Saturday night to Arizona, and suddenly that game doesn't have as much juice. And on Sunday at 11 a.m., which is pretty late for an announcement of where game day is going, College Game Day announces that they're heading to Bozeman, Montana for Montana and Montana State. So that'll be interesting. I'm curious what the weather is going to be like there, not to mention, you know, the travel, probably not the easiest place to get in and out. However, you know, there is private aircraft involved with the College Game Day crew as well, so that certainly helps matters.
I think we should real quick talk a little bit about the College Game Day crew and see how it's kind of evolving and what's going on here. Pat McAfee, it appears, and I don't know how much, Phil, I know you work a lot on the Saturday mornings doing games, so I don't know how much you watch, but it seems that Pat McAfee is essentially getting groomed to take over the Lee Corso role, but they don't want to have him assume the Lee Corso role right now. If you watch the pick segment this past week, Corso usually does the headgear. Obviously, he's not there right now. But this week, McAfee, who really plays to the crowd, I mean, he is a total WWE character. He gets the crowd going, and then he turns on them. But this week, the guest picker made the pick, the final pick, that normally would be the Lee Corso role. So I think they don't want to give the perception that Corso is getting pushed out the door here, which he's not. ESPN has said he's there until he wants. But it seems apparent that right now, Pat McAfee's here, and he's here for the long haul, and he is going to be the next personality on that show. He's getting the prime time, the start of the show, and he's getting the end of the show.
Considering McAfee's popularity, it makes a lot of sense, and it would be a, you know, evolution of sorts as far as kind of going to a younger demographic and in those kind of things. You know, in terms of like the picks at the end of each show, you know, to me, the headgear thing is so sacred and so specific to Corso that, you know, it would make no sense to try to recreate that, you know, with anybody else. And you do need to be delicate, you know, because it's still Corso's spot, you know, for now. And, you know, until, you know, the retirement or whatever, you know, the decision might be is official. But, yeah, you know, I think you make a lot of sense. And I think probably most, you know, pundits would agree, you know, as far as, you know, if Vegas created lines on such things, you know, McAfee would be, you know, the early favorite, no doubt about that.
Yeah, it seems that he has kind of leapfrogged David Pollack into that prime spot, you know, in that show, where Pollack seemed like he was going to be the next guy that was being groomed to be, you know, the mainstay. And it seems that McAfee has now turned into this character that they just can't push away. They need to give him more airtime. That guy's story, we could do a whole podcast on the growth and the evolution of his career, really. I mean, what a self-made man that guy has turned into, man. I'd like to have his bank account. Let's just say that.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So tip of the hat to a fellow Mountaineer, Pat McAfee. I do have the play, by the way, Connor Onion, Bill Rafferty, with the call on Maction Toledo. Here we go.
From the 42 on 3rd and 10. And Hines nearly got home again. McDonald runs away, has it complete, and there goes Keith into field goal range with the first down, off a tackle, end zone! This is Maction!
Absolutely unbelievable. Look at this place. Teron Keith, running back. And Toledo fans are stunned.
I think 21 until Bowling Green did this after McDonald took that shot the play before.
I mean, steps up the pocket and then just has to throw across his body to a streaking Teron Keith.
He's got two guys on him.
And then can't make the tackle. He punches it in for the touchdown.
There's Connor Onion and Rocky Boyman, a former linebacker, by the way, on the call there on Maction for Wednesday night. Tuesday
yeah,
night, by the way.
Connor
Tuesday
Onion, night. That the great opportunity for him, and you know, I honestly think like this very play and this call might propel his career a bit. I mean, he's very new to the game. You know, just joined the ESPN roster in fall of 2021. The Big Ten Network as well. Southern Illinois guy, a Saluki. You know, so he broadcasted their games on the ESPN outlet there. A quick arrival here for Connor Onion, and this certainly will help his cause. Rocky Boyman, I've had the chance to work with him a little bit as well. He was actually part of a crew that we got the chance to work with back in the day, and doing a lot of field analyst work, which is a role that some of these guys take on as far as, you know, kind of an open microphone situation down on the field, as opposed to a sideline reporter job. And then, he's up in the booth there with Connor, but cool opportunity and great to see, you know, the Mac schools get some attention as well.
All right. Big slate this weekend here before Thanksgiving, because next week you get a little bit of you got games on Black Friday, you got all sorts of stuff. So this is really the last college football weekend before we start to get into the holidays, and then you get those championship games coming up. So what are we looking at this week?
Yeah, the slate kicks off actually, if you want to toggle over to ESPN2 with an 11 a.m. game, Navy at UCF at 11 a.m. in Orlando, Florida. So, you know, we talked about this before, an 11 a.m. game involving a service academy. Brian Kuster, Dustin Fox, and Dana Boyle, they drew this one, which will mean getting out of Orlando, wherever they're headed next, probably at a very early hour. So day kicks off with that. And then Illinois, Michigan is the noon ABC game, McDonough, Blackledge, and Molly McGrath. TCU Baylor, also a noon game. That's over on Fox. Jason Benetti and Brock Heward. Wisconsin, Nebraska, Mark Jones, RG3, and Quit Kucinich. And actually, a game I'm going to be working Northwestern and Purdue with Eric Collins and Devin Gardner. That's over on FS1.
By the way, Dustin Fox is a cornerback. So there you go. There's a corner. Dustin Fox, former corner. Brock Heward, quarterback. Robert Griffin, quarterback. Gardner, quarterback. Those guys get all the jobs. By the way, ESPN Radio, Mark Kestisher, who's been on the podcast. If you missed it, you can go back to the archives. Kelly Stauffer, quarterback. So a lot of these quarterbacks are taking all the jobs out there. Ross Tucker, by the way, is doing a college game for CBS Sports Network on Saturday, UConn Army. So Tucker's got, what is it at, Sunday Night Football, and then he's doing Saturday UConn Army. So no job too small for Ross Tucker.
Yeah, and then we move on into the afternoon game. I'm sure you'll be tuning into Kansas State and West Virginia. That's over on ESPN Plus at 2 p.m. Eastern time. Mark Neely and Barrett Brooks.
That's my buddy
on the
Barrett
call for
Brooks.
That one.
Barrett used to work here on my station, 97.3 ESPN. He is now a pretty big personality in the market. He does the Eagles pre- and post-game show on television on NBC Sports Philadelphia. He does NBC Sports. He's got a show on there. So Barrett is a pretty recognizable name in this market. He's also a Kansas State alum and a former offensive lineman, won a Super Bowl with the Steelers.
O-line being represented there, which is cool. Oregon State and Arizona State, Anish Schroff and Brock Eisweiler, the former quarterback, of course, on that one. Joe Tess and Greg McElroy, they get the Ohio State-Michigan game on ABC at 3:30. And then the 3:30 CBS game, Georgia and Kentucky, Nestler, Danielson, Jenny Dell. Miami's at Clemson at 3:30 on ESPN. Former guest of the podcast, Bob Wischusen, along with Dan Orlovsky on that one. So a bunch more quarterbacks there on that grouping at 3:30.
Yeah, Osweiler, McElroy, Orlovsky. You got a bunch of quarterbacks so far that are calling the college games here. As we take a look at some of the games as we get a little bit later on in the day. We got, by the way, we always talk about the radio stuff. There's a interesting slate on radio. I know the Michigan-Illinois is the Westwood 1 game. Compass Media, George Sedano, late night game. You got Sedano and Tom Ramsey. That's a game that we're carrying on the radio. It's going to be Utah and Oregon. That's 10:30 on ESPN Radio. You don't see a lot of those late night radio ones, but if you're driving around late night, you get that. So you get some late night offerings there.
Yeah, now you're speaking my language once we're getting into these late night offerings. But a little earlier, 7 p.m., the Fowler-Herb Street game is Tennessee and South Carolina. Then as we get into the evening, you mentioned the game with Sedano and Ramsey on radio, Utah-Oregon. That's Dave Fleming and Rod Gilmore on the TV side. A little earlier out west, we mentioned the USC-UCLA game that lost a little bit of its juice. That's actually the number one Fox team, Gus Johnson and Joel Klatt on that one. And then one note there in terms of the sideline reporter, it's usually Jenny Taft with those guys. Allison Williams will be the sideline reporter for that primetime Fox game, USC and UCLA. The reason why Jenny Taft is going to be on World Cup soccer coverage for Fox, you know, these next couple weeks. And then we get into those late games, which I always enjoy. Fresno State and Nevada is the big nightcap of those. 10:30 p.m. CBS Sports Network, Chris Lewis and Robert Turbin on the call. Then there's another game in Hawaii, 11 p.m. UNLV in Hawaii. You know, if that's a must watch for you for whatever reason.
And Rocky Boyman, by the way, we mentioned him on the Maction. He's also on a Saturday night UAB LSU. He'll be on the color. That's an ESPN2 game. So Clay Matvick is the play-by-player. Dawn Davenport on the sideline. Rocky Boyman getting some extra work this week. So a lot of college football for you as we're winding down the college football season. But that means we're starting the college hoops season, which I am all over, man. I have watched so much college hoops. Last night I was watching Memphis and St. Louis on CBS Sports Network, and I've been watching college basketball all week since this thing has started. But I know some heavy hitters started last night or this week.
I'm with you. Yeah, a couple nights ago, if you're listening to this on Thursday, you know, a couple big games in Indianapolis, and the first one ends up going double overtime, Kentucky and Michigan State. It was the return of Dickie V. And Dan Shulman on the play-by-play for that one.
That'll put 7 seconds.
Gets it to Hogard, still on the baseline. Back to Walker. They got something going here. Hall,
that's yes! The right guy. Hall is the guy.
Ball, and eventually Hall got free for an easy two.
I don't think he gets enough touches. I think Malik Hall has really good ability, and I really believe he's a veteran player. I think he's going to get more touches. He can drive the ball. He can shoot the three. There he is attacking the rim.
They're just hearing Dickie V back. We talk about coaches, getting more coaches into the color analyst role. That's a coach who has some color right there.
Yeah, it's great to hear him back. And, of course, you know, he brings his one-of-a-kind style as well. And then, you know, the late game later that evening as part of that ESPN doubleheader ended up going off way later than expected. It was originally a 9:30 p.m. Scheduled tip-off. But, of course, the double overtime and then the warm-up times involved push it back. And so Dickie V just did the first game of the doubleheader, which is understandable. And then Jay Billis was the analyst with Shulman for game two of that doubleheader, Holly Rowe on the sidelines. And then over on one of the ACC network, you know, online offerings, and I guess there was probably some, you know, linear TV availability maybe in certain markets of this one, Wake Forest over Utah Valley. This was a buzzer beater, a wild finish here. Got a lot of attention. This clip, Evan Lepler on the play-by-play.
He makes the catch. He gets it to Appleby. Good look. Ball game!
There you go.
Wake Forest wins it at the buzzer. Tyree Appleby!
There you go. Evan Lepler, a new name maybe for some people out there.
Yeah, Lepler's name actually came up in one of our interviews on this podcast. Mike Cousins, you know, classmates with Evan Lepler at Syracuse, you know, part of, you know, his crew there. And great to see him call that buzzer beater. And yeah, it's the time of buzzer beaters. It's the time of college hoops. What's coming up next is a lot of these tournaments happen during Thanksgiving. So games will be played all over the country and, you know, even outside of the United States and places like the Bahamas and things like that. And so there's so much college hoops that you can just settle in, you know, after your Thanksgiving dinner. And if you haven't had enough football, you want to go the college hoops route, you know, there's games all over the dial.
Yeah. Last night, by the way, I'll just give a quick little, I don't remember who was doing the color. Dave Ross was the play-by-player for St. Louis Billikens, Memphis Tigers on CBS Sports last night. So those guys kept me going late last night. That game got over around 11 o'clock on the East Coast here. So college basketball all over the place, and we will dive a little deeper into all the college basketball stuff, obviously, as the football season gets to a close, but we do want to give a couple mentions there. And now the NBA, which, you know, it's in the early portion of its season, but we're getting into the holiday season. We usually talk about Christmas being that kind of kickoff for the NBA season. We're getting close to Thanksgiving here.
Yeah, and by the way, Bob Wenzel was on that call with Dave Ryan
Bob
for that
Wenzel,
Memphis
yes.
State Lewis game. Yeah, Wenzel's been around a long time, you know, former coach himself, you know, broadcasting games like this, and, you know, the old hat for him.
They were
no
wearing
doubt.
The old CBS jackets with the eye on the pocket there.
Nice. Good stuff there. And yeah, you're right. NBA right around the corner as far as heading into the holidays, and, you know, certainly things will heat up even more there. If you're listening to this podcast on Thursday, there was a couple games last night. You know, Mark Jones was the play-by-player for Celtics and Hawks along with Doris Burke. And then the Warriors-Suns game was last night as well with Dave Pasch and Mark Jackson. George Sedano reporting there before he heads to Oregon for the ESPN radio game on college football over the weekend, doing play-by-play for that. And then Friday, a couple more ESPN games, and Ryan Rucco on the Bucks and 76ers along with Doris Burke and Cassidy Hubbard on the sidelines. And then this is an interesting group here for the Knicks-Warriors game that's going to be compelling from a broadcaster standpoint. Mike Breen on play-by-play, Richard Jefferson and J.J. Redick, you know, both analysts. So three-person booth there.
More,
you know,
Redick.
Breen, of course.
More Redick.
And more Redick, yep. So it'll be interesting. This is the first time, to my knowledge, that this group has been together. And Breen, obviously, you know, experience as far as working with a three-person booth with Jeff Van Gundy and Mark Jackson. But this time, Richard Jefferson and J.J. Redick. So this will be really compelling, I think. Knicks and Warriors late Friday night. Ross Gold on Wude on the sidelines for that one.
Very good. And, oh, by the way, I want to go back to the college women's basketball, NBC. I was watching this game because there's a girl who plays for Notre Dame that I covered in our area, Kylie Watson. And we had the first ever live presentation of a all-women's college basketball broadcast on NBC on Saturday.
Yeah, this was really kind of interesting that this was the first time that this had ever happened on NBC. You know, and part of it is that NBC for years hasn't been showing, you know, that much college basketball, men's or women's. But, you know, this Cal-Notre Dame game, it was played in St. Louis. And a great opportunity for an all-female broadcasting crew to get on the call for this one. And, yeah, really cool stuff. First time that there's been college basketball on the main NBC network for quite some time, you know, dating all the way back to a game that, you know, I believe Bill Walton called once upon a time. And, yeah, Zora Stevenson handled the play-by-play. You know, she's been doing work with the Notre Dame broadcast on the sidelines and also has done work out of, I believe, the Milwaukee market mainly. But she's gotten some reps in terms of the play-by-play, you know, on USA Network and, you know, places like that in previous years. LaChyna Robinson, you know, who's been around quite a bit on the women's basketball side of things, done a lot of work with ESPN as well. She was the analyst for this game. And then Isis Ice Young was the reporter. So a really cool opportunity. You know, I'm glad these broadcasters got their due for this one. And, yeah, cool to see the first ever live presentation of a women's college basketball game on NBC, the big network.
Yeah, so we talked about Ice Young. Let's go to the Ice NHL. That was cool, by the way. I did watch a good portion of that game. I can't say I watched it from start to finish, but I did watch a good chunk. I was watching Kylie Watson, who plays for Notre Dame. She actually transferred from Oregon to Notre Dame. So there's a little reason why I was tuned in on that game a little bit. Some local flavor for me. NHL, and a couple games here that we're going to highlight for the NHL.
Yeah, you know, it's actually, there's not that much happening this week per se in terms of national broadcasts. Obviously, you know, the teams are still going strong and there's plenty on the regional networks. If you're catching this on Thursday, there was a couple games on TNT last night. Brendan Burke on the play-by-play for St. Louis and Chicago. And then Kenny Albert, as he juggles his schedule, he was on the Los Angeles Edmonton game, along with Eddie Olczyk and Keith Jones on TNT. But we'll keep an eye on NHL as we continue to move forward. And certainly, you know, both the TNT Turner packages and ESPN will get going in earnest before we know it.
And I will mention on the radio side, Sports USA does have a NHL schedule. It starts on Monday, January 2nd, the Winter Classic at Fenway Park. And then they do the Stadium Series at NC State this year. That's on February 18th. Sports USA does a good job. They do the Stanley Cup. They do the finals, conference finals. So just to kind of let people know, there is national NHL radio as well. There's also World Cup that starts on Friday. And this is a big deal for Fox and FS1. And you're going to see, you know, the World Cup up against NFL football on Sunday. We'll see. John and TJ can talk about the ratings of how that goes. But who's going to be calling some of this? Who are some of the voices that we will be acquainted with starting on Sunday?
Yeah, so starting on Sunday, we get going in earnest with the World Cup, and then there's games, you know, basically every single day, so you can settle in next week with the group stage. You know, most the names and the announcers for these World Cup games, and I'm actually glad this is the case, are pretty much soccer specific announcers, you know, so they know their stuff from a soccer standpoint. And John Strong, who we spoke about as far as, you know, some of those great calls with that MLS Cup last week, he'll be handling a bunch of the play by play along with Stu Holden. And then, you know, a bunch of other names. JP Della Camara, Colby Jones is one grouping. Derek Ray and Ali Wagner will work together. Ian Dark and Landon Donovan will work together as well. Jackie Oatley and Warren Barton. So those are, you know, your booths in terms of the World Cup coverage. Studio host Rob Stone, who does a lot of work across the board for Fox, including college football. So he's going to be focused on World Cup the next couple weeks here. Kate Abdo as well, who's, you know, more of a soccer specific host. She'll be on a bunch of these shows. Studio analysts include Alexi Lalas and Clint Dempsey, both big stars from the U.S. national team once upon a time. And we mentioned Jenny Taft. She's one of several reporters who will be out there on this World Cup coverage as well. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting, you know, happening from Qatar, happening this time of year for the first time, you know, as opposed to in the middle of the summer, you know, what most people, you know, contend is the biggest sporting event in the world is about to go off during a time of year that you're not used to seeing it, you know, during November. And for United States perspective, going up against sports like the NFL and college football, not to mention, you know, the NBA, college hoops, and NHL. So it's going to be a crowded broadcasting and television sports landscape, you know, with the World Cup play becoming apparent, you know, on Sunday. The time of games are worth noting as well. You know, the first game, Qatar and Ecuador on Sunday, that's at 11 a.m. Eastern time. And then as we get going, 5 a.m., 8 a.m., 11 a.m., 2 p.m. on a lot of the weekdays. So, you know, maybe they have, you know, exclusive windows as far as other live sports going on. But still, you know, it's a lot of time invested for people in front of TVs. And, you know, people can only give up so much of their day as far as what they're watching.
Well, I always see, you know, I talk about this, and maybe John and TJ can do something on this about, you know, would a sports league benefit from finding a niche? You know, baseball or the NHL, even the NBA, doing weekday, like daytime games. I mean, look, nobody's watching anything on TV but sports. Why not put a million people, if it's only a million, and I say only, that's more than you're getting for at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Wednesday, and make that your thing. Wednesday afternoons on Fox, we've got hockey or whatever it is. We'll see live sports in the morning. People work from home. I think one of these leagues should make that something. Make an early afternoon or a late morning game on a certain weekday and really, you know, try to brand something there, much like they've done with Maction, right? No one's watching Toledo and Western Michigan on Saturday, but you put it on Tuesday or Wednesday night, you're getting eyeballs. So why not take advantage of a dead time of the television day and just brand it? I don't know why a league, MLS or something. I know MLS is going to Apple, so that's you know, going to be interesting to see what happens there. But one of these bigger leagues saying, hey, 2 o'clock Wednesday afternoon, that's our day and time. We're going to make a big deal out of it.
Yeah, I would think the decision-making process also involves gate, you know, in terms of who can actually make these games live and in person. It would be much more of a made-for-TV type experience. And I think that's the sacrifice they make.
I think you'd be surprised. Baseball, you know, business person specials were always popular. If your team gets it once in a while, I think you can make something. If it was the same team every Wednesday, that might be tough. But if it's a once in a while thing, I think you can brand it in that town of, hey, Wednesday at 2 o'clock, come on out. We're gonna have you know, Minnesota taking on, and it's gonna be and it's every, you know, something to that effect.
Yeah, and in terms of college football, I know the Maction games have a hard time drawing spectators. I mean, part of it is the weather, you know, in that part of the country, a night game on a school night, you know, they have a hard time, but it's a small price to pay in terms of the exposure that the Mac's getting with those games. So I think it makes a lot of sense what you're talking about here, but I would imagine, you know, when it comes to sort of the decision making, you know, that would be part of the thought process as well. You know, I remember they were talking about doing Pac-12 college football games, 9 a.m. starts. I don't know whatever became of that, but they were talking about that for a bit as far as 9 a.m. local starts for
the
Pac-12
big noon
games.
Saturday. Yep.
Yeah. And so I don't know if any of that's ever, you know, manifested or what's going on there.
It's an interesting branding, by the way, Phil. The big noon Saturday, which is only in the East. It's really the big 11 a.m. Saturday in the Central and the big 10 a.m. Saturday in the Mountain and the big 9 a.m. Saturday out West, which is where they have a lot of their rights are out west. So the big noon Saturday doesn't really play for the people in the Pac-10, Pac-12.
Yeah, true. But I guess, you know, what I've been noticing is it's almost always a Big Ten game, sometimes Big 12, I guess, with, you know, Texas, Oklahoma and that kind of thing. But it's an interesting proposal. It certainly gets my attention when sports are on in, you know, non-traditional hours. I end up tuning in. You know, like this summer, like I watch a lot of the Tour de France every year. And part of it is it's like the one live sporting event happening on a weekday morning at, you know, 10 a.m. Eastern time. So I end up watching it for a little bit. So I think you're on to something there, and it'll be interesting to see if any of the leagues actually pull the trigger and go that direction.
All right. Some sad news. I am a 45-year-old, so Fred Hickman, a pioneer, is right up my alley at a time. You know, we had the Monday Night Wars, if you're a wrestling fan. Well, we had CNN Sports Tonight, and we had SportsCenter. And if you're somebody of my generation, Fred Hickman, Nick Charles, that tandem was every well as known, if you were of my age, as the ESPN side of things, where you had obviously Keith Olbermann and Dan Patrick. You had Stuart Scott. But Fred Hickman passed away at 66 years old.
Yeah, really sad news last week, and just an outpouring from the industry as far as tributes for Fred Hickman. He and Nick Charles, like you touched on, you know, the original host of Sports Tonight on CNN. That show debuted June 1st, 1980. So talking about kind of being ahead of the times there. And you're right, that was a battle in terms of the ratings. You know, once again, would love to hear, you know, John Lewis's perspective, you know, maybe a historical perspective on who won a lot of those battles. But Hickman was with CNN and Turner Sports for the next 21 years. And then after that, you know, places like Yes Network, working, you know, with guys like Michael Kay.
I believe he was the first voice on the Yes Network.
Oh, wow. So he literally got that network started as well, just like, you know, he probably got the sports side of things, you know, one of the first voices there with CNN. Later actually ended up being with ESPN, so kind of some irony there, despite all those ratings battles, working with SportsCenter and shows like that in the 2000s. And then later spent some time with the Atlanta Braves broadcast on Fox Sports South and Sports South networks, that going all the way up to 2011. And then most recently, he was with the Black News Channel, where he was an anchor and managing editor, really running a lot of the things there. But, you know, he was a great personality. And like you said, Mike, you know, for people of our age, you know, who were literally growing up, you know, around, you know, sports television, you know, he was one of those voices that you would rely on every night.
Yeah, and, you know, it was just a settling voice. Like, when he was on ESPN, it was almost like when Tony Schiavone went over to WWE for a little while and then was like, you know, he was there for about 4 years, but it always just felt different when he was there. I really feel him and Nick Charles, it was just such a different alternative to the ESPN side of things. They were fun. And they were professional. You mentioned the ratings war. I would imagine John Lewis would find that the ratings went to SportsCenter because they stuck around. CNN Sports Tonight did not. But I always found myself tuned into Fred and Nick. And I thought Fred was about as solid as they come. And when I saw the news, I couldn't believe it, because, you know, I haven't seen what he was up to in quite some time. But, man, my childhood of watching – I watched a lot of that CNN Sports Tonight, and you know, I feel like, when would I have watched that? I was always watching SportsCenter, but it evidently was on, because I remember Fred and Nick instantaneously when I saw the news.
Yeah, well said, and yeah, I can't tell you the last time I tuned in to CNN, you know, but I would tune in back then in those days, you know, because of their sports coverage. So rest in peace, Fred Hickman. You made an impact on a lot of us.
Absolutely. Great stuff today on the pod. Episode 24. Let's get into the Excellent Adventures. Where will you be, Phil?
Yeah, so I'm actually heading to Charlotte to work a couple games behind the scenes for college football coverage. I'll be working with Eric Collins along with Daryl Gardner, and looking forward to those games. We're actually doing a doubleheader on Saturday. We got the noon game, Northwestern and Purdue, and then Texas Tech and Iowa State on FS1, 7 o'clock. This past weekend, I was at the NCAA Division III men's soccer championships, the first round up in Lexington, Virginia. And, you know, who caught my notice there, you know, and it makes me reflect a little on all the great student broadcasters that are doing great work across the country. And up at that Washington Lee game, they did a really nice production there. Jack Hunter, want to give him a shout out, who was the play-by-play student broadcaster for Washington Lee. He really did a nice job in prep as well as execution of that broadcast. Then here where I work at Brevard College, I've been working with a couple of just absolutely promising broadcasters on the student side. Want to give these guys a shout out. Scott Douglas, who's sort of our soccer specialist here. He's from London, England, and doing a great job on the play-by-play of our soccer broadcast. Also doing a lot of hosting work. And then Brady Penn, who you can catch on the call for Brevard College Tornado Athletics, basketball, baseball, a variety of sports beyond that as well. So shout out to all the student broadcasters out there. Great work. Keep up the great work, because it can pay off if you keep at it here, as Mike will attest.
It sure will. And, you know, I talk about my play-by-play adventures. Unfortunately, I haven't had quite as many opportunities. As I've chronicled, a lot of the schools in this area have changed their game times. When do high school football games start in North Carolina?
They're typically on Friday nights, I guess 7 p.m. kickoff typically.
Yeah, a lot of the schools in this area all went to 6 o'clock, and that is not conducive for my radio show gets done at 6, so I cannot be in two places in one time, and that has really scaled back my play-by-play this year. I'm looking to get into some more college basketball. I do have some more opportunities on that level. My schedule will start up here shortly. I still do all my appearances during the week. I have the radio show. And, of course, this podcast. I also have the Believe in the Bets podcast that you can check out, which I'm doing very well in, by the way. I'm 14-2 in college basketball so far. Love the early season college basketball stuff.
Awesome stuff, Mike. Hey, one final note. I was able to dig up this note here. We were talking about the NBC sports coverage of that basketball game, women's college basketball game. And, you know, it was the first college basketball game of any kind, men's or women's, on NBC in nearly 25 years. The last time NBC aired a college basketball game, men's basketball, it was a game between Notre Dame and Providence. Providence won it 77-62 back on February 28th, 1998.
Wow.
Don Crickey on the play-by-play. Bill Walton, analyst.
Don Crickey, huge fan of the Don Crickey call. I'm a big Don Crickey guy from the NBC days, Notre Dame. Boy, there's a name from the past that makes me smile. So a couple of them today, Fred Heckman, Don Crickey, two names that I grew up with big time there. So those are tremendous names. All right, Phil, episode 24. Don't forget, rate, review, subscribe, Apple Podcasts. Leave us a nice comment there. That always helps, that kind of stuff. Share us, like us, distribute it, tell your friends. Tuesday, George Hoffman has Tell Me a Story I Don't Know. Always just really good interviewer, by the way. If you have no idea who he's even interviewing, he gets great stories. That's why it's a story you don't know. But you hear great stuff from George on Tuesdays. TJ Reeves and John Lewis on SportsMediaWatch.com podcast. They go over all the ratings of stuff, and those guys really give you some good detail. John's a historian of the ratings game. He can pull out. I don't know how he remembers the stuff that he remembers. It's unbelievable. And then, of course, we're here on Thursdays with the Announcer Schedules podcast. And, Phil, anything you want to add before we close the book on episode 24?
No, I think we covered a lot of ground, that's for sure. And really looking forward to this World Cup coverage. It is one of my favorite sporting events, period. And I really pay close attention. So it'll be a lot of fun starting Sunday with the World Cup. And of course, plenty of football this weekend as well. So look forward to catching up again soon, Mike.
All right. That's it. Episode 24 in the books. And we will be back next week with another edition of the Announcer Schedules podcast. Always check the feed. And of course, like, rate, review, subscribe. For Phil, I'm Mike. Have a great rest of your weekend, everybody.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.